Oh, okay, thanks. Thanks.
Okay, very good. So I propose that we start our special speed talk session number one. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this first speed talk session of the Quality Conference. So the main objective of the of this session is related to quality management and frameworks, quality assurance and cost. And of course, if you were there in the plenary first session this morning, the Director General of Eurostat referred to our quality framework, which we have and which we have to make known by the users and by all stakeholders. And this is something which, for example, you can find in the European Statistic Code of Practice, which we have recently republished, which is covering a common quality framework for European statistics, the Code of Practice, quality declaration, quality management principles. And of course, OECD has also published a document, which is recommendation of the Council on Good Statistical Practices. So different organizations at international level are working on really promoting our quality framework. And we know that those quality frameworks are the umbrella of all the quality work in our organization. So it's a speed talk session. It means that, unfortunately, we will not have time for questions. But if you have questions to the speakers, for those of you who are in the room, don't hesitate to approach them after the session. So the presentation by each presenter will last for 4 minutes, and we have timekeeper who is there, and we will show you when we are approaching the end of the presentation. So first of all, I would like to give the floor to Markus Baumann from the Swiss Federal Statistical Office. And Markus is going to talk about a common quality framework for Swiss Federal Statistical Offices. Markus, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Good afternoon. So I will start right away. In 2015, we formed a working group to create a common quality framework for the other federal statistical producers. We wanted to create a general quality criteria for them and an implementation mechanism to define. Why did we want to do that? Also, we thought that the Code of Practice and the Swiss Charter of Swiss Official Statistics, which almost explains the same things like in the Code of Practice, that this is all clear. But it was shown that it was not at all clear for those other producers. So the aim and purpose of this general quality criteria should be, first of all, a simplification of the implementation of the Code of Practice criteria. It should also promote a dialogue, and we wanted also that we could have an evaluation of the conformity in coordination with our multi-annual statistical program, which always lasts for 4 years. Just to show what was also a challenge was to combine the different quality frameworks that already exist, but not also the different frameworks, but also the different levels, hierarchies of abstraction. You can see that we took a part of the different frameworks that already exist, and we wanted so to create a different framework with four guidelines. Those four guidelines, the first two ones you know may be quite good. They also go inside the quality criteria from the COP. But then maybe the third and the fourth are a little bit special. So the third, we also call it product criteria, but there we wanted that the other federal statistical producers really calculate quality indicators as they are stated in the quality performance indicators from Eurostat, which is nowadays not asked for them, but only for the ONAs, for the other national authorities who produce European statistics. So we wanted this for everyone. And also that they publicate their quality management on a web page, and also that they engage in a continuous improvement. So, what were the lessons learned and the next steps? What are the next steps? We have seen that it is very important to create a mutual understanding and a knowledge of the topic of quality. Also, as we thought that everybody would know the main characteristics and processes for quality management, it is not so clear. Second, we have to take account of the fear of the stakeholders of administrative burden because of quality management criteria. And we also have to take into account the diversity of the stakeholders to find a consensus. There are big producers that always wanted more criteria and a more severe quality management, but there are also little producers who want less. So, actually now we will talk about the definition of the role of the actors, also of the Swiss Federal Office of Statistics, and we are now doing two pilots, one on the institutional level and the second on the statistics level, if they are able to produce those quality performance indicators stated. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Markus, for your presentation. I propose that we move immediately, as announced, to the second presenter, and I have the pleasure to welcome Julien. So Julien Dupont from OECD, and Julien is going to talk about the implementation of the OECD recommendation on good statistical practice, professional independence, and coordination. And this is actually referring, I believe, to this brochure, which I have shown at the beginning of the session. So Julien, please.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, everybody. I'm very pleased to be there to present briefly the recommendation of the OECD Council on Good Statistical Practice, which was the first legal instrument on statistics for the OECD, adopted by the Council in November 2015, and mainly because the quality of statistics is fundamental for OECD works and OECD analysis. So the recommendation complements some existing international guidelines, such as the UN Fundamental Principles, the European Code of Practice, the Code of Practice for Latin America and the Caribbean, the IMF Special Data Dissemination Standards. The objectives were to provide a common reference, at least for the OECD, to assess the quality of national statistical systems and official statistics. It has been a tool for accession statistical reviews for the countries who would like to be a member of the OECD. It's also a tool for self-assessment of partners, and the recommendation emphasizes some aspects that correspond to developed statistical systems within the OECD, with emphasizing on new sources of statistical information, one designated institution that coordinates the national statistical systems, and a commitment to engage in international cooperation. An additional objective was to share good statistical practice, and this is where we are now. We are trying to build a toolkit, on online toolkit, which is accessible if you type on Google, for example, toolkit OECD good statistical practice. You will have access to a platform where you will find some information on the recommendation and all the implementation process. So basically, the recommendation include 12 recommendations, which are split by domains: the legal and institutional frameworks, the methods, quality and processes, the access and dissemination, the coordination and cooperation, and innovation. In complement, there is a list of good practices in Annex, which are indicative good practices. Some of them are shared with the European Code of Practice. None of these practices are themselves sufficient to comply with a particular recommendation, but they are giving some good indication on the compliance. One example is professional independence. I have just replicated the recommendation. I will not read everything, but producers should be professionally independent, should have exclusive authority to decide on statistical methods, and are protected by law from the inclusion of any political and other interference. Good practices which are related to professional independence include some explicit reference in the legislation, legal authority of the national statistical authorities to decide on data collection, statistical methods, and procedures, including the timing of release, sufficient high hierarchical standing to ensure senior level access to policy authorities, the management of resources, the procedure for appointing, and the reasons for dismissal, the clear reporting systems, and the publication of statistical work program, the clear distinction between statistical information and policy interpretation, the comment on statistical misuse, the impact on quality, the implementation of quality management systems, the control over the processing of data, and the adherence to predetermined schedules for public release. And there are some still ongoing questions about the Statistical Council and Statistical Advisory Council that could help in strengthening professional independence, but at certain conditions. And we have investigated in all the different statistical councils, and there are many different in size, function, membership, and so on. And sometimes there are some interaction with professional independence and the new data sources, and the potential challenges in the use of new data sources as regard the professional independence. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Julien, for guiding us and informing us about the good statistical practice, and in particular drawing the attention on what I would call the mother of all the statistical principles, which is the independence. So now we move to the third presentation, and we have the pleasure to welcome Paula Silva from Banco do Portugal. And Paula is going to talk about how to turn quality into habit in the statistical production. Paula, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. I'm going to present you the ongoing process on defining a model of quality indicators to assess the quality of statistical systems in Banco do Portugal, and also how we want this model to turn quality into an habit for our statisticians. So I recently read a book called The Power of Habit, in which the author explains how habits exist and how they can be changed. And he says that the process within our brains is a three-step loop, and that the craving is what powers the habit loop. So as a statistical auditor, I do crave for processes that are easy to implement and that create some added value for our compilers, right? And the first step of the first step is the cue, which the author explains to be a trigger that puts your brain into an automatic mode, into action mode, which in our case is to produce high quality statistics and always do better. So we just need to change the routine and make a worthy model that creates some reward for our stakeholders. What do we have? Well, till now, to address statistical quality control, we carry out statistics audit operations, and once in a year, we also produce quality reports. So what's missing? Well, actually, these quality reports are very important because they shed light on constraints, on actual procedures, and also include recommendations to turn procedures more efficient. So what happens is that they are only produced once in a year, so during most part of the time, statisticians are focused on doing the same thing, producing results for a specific domain, for a specific time period, using the same quality controls that are not systematic across the whole system. So our proposal in this preliminary mode is to change the routine and turn this quality report into a regular and more systematic model of indicators that can be quickly updated by our statistic compilers. This model would be computed on a quarterly frequency and would include new indicators as well as old ones. It would include some indicators that can be comparable across domains and others specific. What we are doing at this stage, well, we are calibrating the model, and we still need to define tolerance intervals and mapping data owners for each indicator and data sources and some rules. But just to give you a flavor of some of the indicators that will be comprised into these seven categories, we have, for instance, the number of aborted or failed job runs in IT systems that give us a clue in which system needs more attention. We have also the mean absolute relative error in category 4, which is also used and very important for revision studies, but can also be used as a key risk indicator. And more recently, we have on category 7 the total number of consultations in our statistics dissemination portal. So this only works if it creates rewards for our stakeholders. For instance, in accessibility, we'll allow data users' needs to be quickly addressed. And if two data sources are too consistent, then probably there is an opportunity to integrate and reduce reporting burden for data providers. The statistics department board will be able to keep track of KPIs and KRIs and know better when to intervene and prioritize investment. And last but not least, I would like to focus on staff that will be able to anticipate opportunities for improvement. And once statistical processes become more efficient, they will save time for research and for analysis. So our vision is that high-quality statistical systems will provide with more motivated statisticians with a craving for high-quality statistics. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paula, for your presentation. So as we know, changing habits is something which is, in general, not an easy task, but it's very good that there are some, let's say, coordinated framework in organization and institution to go into this direction. And also what I found very good is this summary dashboard, which you focus on the key elements, because also we know that human beings are capable to focus only on a limited number of elements, not hundreds of key performance indicators. So thank you for that. Now we move and. To the next presentation, we stay into the central bank realm because we have the pleasure to welcome Gregorio Guidi from the European Central Bank. And Gregorio is going to talk today about a framework for assessing the quality of banking supervision data. We know that banking supervision was very much high on the agenda over the last years. And now Gregorio is going to explain what kind of framework ECB is putting into place. So thank you, Gregorio.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. As you know, I'm coming from the ECB, which is a big producer of official statistics since around 20 years or so. I will talk of a part that's actually much younger, so collection and assessment of the quality of supervisory data. That means that we collect data not for the general purpose of publishing into the public or doing monetary policy decisions, but to check the status of the banks. So, to see if the bank is in good health, if there's any issue with that, and we've been doing this since 2014. So the main question is, do the statistic quality framework, the quality dimension of assessment are still relevant for this kind of analysis or not? I will try to argue that there are in fact some differences. To start, I will show you a picture of what happens normally in the general ECB collection department when we refer to general statistic collections. So you see here, normally if we need to collect some data, we have a framework, we design the collection, we produce the templates, we send it to the banks if there's some statistics that we require from the banks, we get the data, we check. And all of these processes is regulated by our ECB statistic quality framework, and the keywords that are here are very familiar to you if you worked in this kind of statistics frameworks. Accuracy, reliability, completeness, efficiency, relevance, and so much more. So what is the difference for supervisory data? Well, first difference is that there are some more actors involved. And you see here that in the ECB, we follow the framework that is designed at the European level, in particular by the European Banking Authority. So in fact, we don't control the information that we ask. It's regulated at EU level, so there are specific set of information and specific rules on when and what the bank sent at each time to their supervisors, to the competent authorities. So this already makes the framework a bit more shaky. So not all quality dimensions are really relevant for us. So for instance, we don't decide the coherence of the reporting framework because we don't decide it. Another very big difference is in the use of this data. So this data is meant to be used to check the soundness of a bank. And of course, it's important that it's correct. So we should assess the quality in the sense of making sure that everything that we have is right, the numbers are correct, so that the supervisor can take a sound decision based on that. There is also another point here that is important to make is that while we do this work, we actually find that maybe the data is wrong, maybe the bank submitted something that is not correct, and this information itself is actually useful. In a sense, you are now looking at the bank and you see that it's not able to send the data that you expected, so maybe there are some problems in the process of the bank. Maybe there are some problems in the internal control systems of the bank. And this is actually important supervisory information. So we are all even doing our own assessment. We are helping supervisors to decide if the bank is competent. So I will try here to say that there are some quality dimensions that are more relevant for us, and these for, we have listed here some of them: accuracy, reliability, plausibility, completeness, and punctuality. These are the ones where we focus our work, and in fact, based on this, we try to achieve our objectives. So as I said, our first objective is to make sure that the data is correct, and this is mainly the role of completeness, accuracy, and plausibility. So that's where we focus most of our timing. And then together with punctuality and reliability, we also look at this bigger picture. So we try to see whether the bank is actually capable to send reliable data and to make sure that data is not only correct, but is sent in time and without too many revisions. And though what we do in the end is to, of course, make sure that data is correct by having a lot of interaction with the banks, checking errors and correcting them, then doing, as you expect, trends, and then see how quality is doing over time, how all these metrics appear in the long term. And then finally, we do an assessment of the bank itself, and this goes to a final score, which can be a good score, a bad score, depending if the quality of the data sent by the bank is good and if the process is good. And these are some examples that you will find about punctuality and accuracy. And of course, you're invited to look at our paper if you want to know more about this. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Gregorio, for your presentation, and also I believe reassure us that part of the elements that we are doing for statistics are also relevant in your own domain. So I think it's, again, reassurance of the robustness of our own quality framework for statistics. So now we move to presentation number 5, and we welcome Gloria from INEGI, so Gloria Marta Rubio Soto, who is going to talk about quality assurance and GSBPM adoption at INEGI. So Gloria, the floor is yours.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. We in Mexico also try to make quality assurance a habit. And what we are trying to do is to make it a systematic and uniform habit across all the institution. So today I'm going to present what is the progress today in the quality assurance reform that we initiated at the end of 2014. 2 years ago in Madrid, we presented the first phase, the initial implementation phase of the reform, which basically consisted in adapting the UN National Quality Assurance Framework as a base for our quality assurance policy. We also launched a quality assurance committee integrated by all the managing directors at INEGI. And from that time until now, what we have done is to move towards how to implement this quality assurance reform. And basically what we have done is to adopt the GSBPM as the basis for the standardization of our processes and as a way to introducing the good practices and also to measure and document quality. So in 2016, we initiated the adaptation of the GSBPM to the country context. We also, at that year, we had to review the strategic program, and we aligned the strategic objectives with the quality objectives. Last year, in 2017, we make some progress in standardizing the processes and also to move towards standardizing the quality indicators that are used for quality reporting. We also participated in a peer review by OECD, the first one that we had in Mexico. So for the medium term, we set three big objectives. The first one is to have these standardized processes and use it as a basis for documentation and also for quality control. Our second objective for the medium term is to have a systematic quality assessment in which basically what we are doing is standardizing the quality indicators that we use across the institution and standardize the reporting of these quality indicators. Our third objective has to do with implementing or first defining protocols for implementing improvement actions. And this basically consists in making sure that all programs, all statistical programs, follow the same protocols in terms of testing the improvement actions before they are implemented, and then ensuring that all of them are adequately documented and evaluated. And also, of course, very important, communicated to the users. Let me finalize by just mentioning some of the challenges that we are identifying. First of all, is that we need to work harder in promoting this process and evidence-based quality assurance culture at the INEGI. We also want to, well, need to make sure that senior management continues to be involved and is supportive of the whole reform. For this, we are very well aware that we need to show concrete results, short-term results, to start making sure that people acknowledge the value added of all these initiatives. Communication and training is very important, and also we face the challenge of scaling these initiatives to the whole national statistical system, and also, finally, to exploit this initiative with some other initiatives that we have, such as improving data management, as well as implementing enterprise architecture. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gloria, for introducing us to the development in the in your statistical office. I found what is very important in what you have mentioned are, first of all, the alignment to the strategic objective and the buying from senior management, because we have seen that when you don't have this alignment, then initiatives are leading to nowhere and they are stopped after some time. But also to ensure that you can highlight and communicate the value added to all the different stakeholders. And I believe this is in particular challenging when you go to the national statistical system, so when you spread to outside your organization. So thank you very much for this presentation. And now I would like to invite our speaker, next speaker, which is with Nezibe Gül from the Turkish Statistical Institute. So Nezibe is going to talk today about cost accounting of products in the Turkish official statistical program. So the floor is yours, Nezibe.
Hi, everyone. As Turkish Stat, in order to calculate the cost of statistics for the first time, we have two studies in the context of official statistical program. The first study is concerning about calculation of cost of statistics, which are produced and responsible by the other national authorities. The other study is aiming to calculate cost of statistics, which are produced by Turkish Statistical Office. Now I want to mention about the study which aims to calculate cost of statistics produced by other national authorities. This study carried out through the questionnaire applied to 76 institutions. Some key questions are the following: general information about statistical unit, education and competence of personnel, time and personal expenditures allocated to statistical production, and training and consultancy service requested from Turkstat. Now I want to mention about the second study, which aims to calculate cost of statistics produced by Turkish Statistical Institute. Aim of this study is calculating cost of statistics by including all expenditures like current transfer, capital expenditures, purchasing goods and services, and personal expenditures. This study's coverage and data source are the following: Turkstat head office and 26 regional offices are included as a geographical scope. Official statistics produced in 2015 and 16 are covered to calculate cost of statistics, central government and general budget expenditures. Expenditures from revolving funds are inputs for the cost of statistics. And to distribute expenditures of components of expenditures through the full-time equivalent personnel, which was collected from survey by a survey from subject matter departments and supporting departments. Now I want to mention about some key concepts that we used in the study. These concepts are significant, so I would like to mention some of them. Our first concept is cost drivers. The factors that most closely influence the cost of an activity or cause a change in the cost of an activity. In this study, we used the number of person per statistics as a cost driver. Direct cost is a cost that can be attributed directly or strictly to a service or a product. And indirect is cannot be directly attributed to a particular product. And they are sometimes referred as overhead cost. And our first concept is amortization or depreciation, that we use these two concepts in the study interchangeably. It's simply cost or value of an asset over its useful time. Full-time equivalent is a unit that indicates the total working time for a certain period of time. As I said before, full-time equivalent is calculated from time allocation for each product from subject matter departments and supporting departments. Here I want to mention about how cost driver calculation is done in this study. We have three types of cost driver calculation. It depends on the department's group types. In subject matter departments, number of employees and the percentage of time allocated to each official statistics were collected. In supporting departments, it's assumed that all products they work on have same size, same difficulty, and same complexity. And for other departments, cost driver of subject matter departments and supporting departments are used for cost drivers of other departments. And for regional offices, cost drivers is calculated based on workloads of each survey. In this chart, we just try to summarize how the calculation of cost of statistics is made. First of all, we just divided departments by group as subject matter departments, supporting departments, and other departments. In the second level, we made some assumptions for grouping the cost like direct and indirect cost, while cost coming from the subject matter departments considered as a direct, supporting departments and other departments cost considered as an indirect. In the third level, we just allocated cost based on some assumptions. Subject matter departments cost allocated only relevant statistics that department is responsible for producing them. And supporting and this cost are called direct costs. Supporting departments cost allocated to statistics that departments are contributed in any point of statistics production process. For other departments, their costs are contributed among all statistics as their overhead or indirect costs. In this chart, we just try to summarize how cost allocation method is applied for the regional offices. In the first step, mandate calculations obtained from the coordination of data collection departments. And in the second level step, surveys are matched with the statistical production to calculate. And then number of personnel on product base is divided by the total number of person to get weighted number of person. This scaled number of person then multiplied with the budget of the budget expenditures of the region, and then we just summed up all these products to calculate cost of statistics, which is called regional cost also. And the result, we saw that survey or census-based statistics have the highest spendings, and they make up almost 3/4 of the total expenditures. And also, we saw that statistical productions cost is mostly coming from the regional offices. Thank you for patience and listening.
Thank you very much, Nezibe, for your presentation on cost accounting. As we know, accounting for cost is quite high on the agenda, and in particular over the last year, where we, in particular in Europe, but certainly also in maybe another part of the globe, where we have experienced budget cuts following the crisis which we face. So, but of course, I mean, there are challenges in doing so, and one of the challenges is to collect the information in a reliable manner. And the second challenge, I would believe, is also maybe something which you have faced when comparing the different regional offices of different sizes and of maybe different tradition. And the next question is, what do we do with those costs, and what kind of decision we take? You have already alluded to one of them, which is the cost of survey and the cost of censuses, which is then leading us to new data sources, and which is very much also in the focus of this conference. So thank you for this presentation again. Now we move to the next presentation, and I would like to invite Marsha Windross from Statistical Institute of Jamaica. And Marsha is going to present us the National Statistical Office, the National Statistical System, and beyond. So Marsha, please, the floor is yours.
Good day, everyone. Ensuring fitness of use of official statistics requires a system for providing those assurances. This is the purpose of the United Nations Template for a Generic National Quality Assurance Framework, or NCAF. NCAF adaptation and adoption vary by country. Two illustrations will be taken from the Global South and North, more specifically Jamaica and Canada, respectively. Since the deployment of the generic NCAF in 2012, many NSOs have adapted it to their own circumstances and adopted either a regional or national version. Let's take a closer look at what happens in Jamaica in the Global South. The expected audience of the NCAF is the National Statistics Office, or NSO, but should really be all federal ministries, departments and agencies participating in the National Statistical System, or NSS, because only in a few countries does the NSO produce all or even most of the official statistics. Implementing a quality assurance framework for Jamaica's NSO has been one of the earliest steps taken to modernize the NSO of that country. However, the NSO has moved further to now mobilize. I'm not quite sure why you're not seeing all the graphics. However, the NSO has since moved further to mobilize the rest of the national statistical system through a series of UN-funded workshops to gather around a common work program of improving data quality for monitoring attainment of the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. The NSO has also pursued fostering effective partnerships with both statisticians and senior level managers of federal ministries, departments, and agencies to draft a national quality assurance framework for the NSS and to obtain high level political buy-in. In the process, the NSO has also engaged in international cooperation by drawing on technical assistance from a more experienced NSO, Statistics Canada, or StatCan. StatCan, which produces the vast majority of Canadian official statistics, originally drafted its quality assurance framework in 1997 to describe the measures it had in place to manage the quality of the data it produced. The third edition of the quality assurance framework describes what Statistics Canada has since put in place for the effective management of quality for all its statistical programs and organizational initiatives. The quality guidelines describes good quality practices that Statistics Canada uses to manage all the steps in their statistical business process, but also offers quality indicators to measure the impact of those practices. The sixth edition of the quality guidelines is currently underway. The policy suite is a collection of policies, directives, standards, and guidelines aimed at effective and efficient execution of StatCan's statistical programs. The governing instruments in the policy suite are constantly evolving. Recently, the Canadian federal government began sharing its information holdings on an open data portal. Naturally, with increased transparency of data, there is a greater need for data literacy and good quality practices. So, Statistics Canada anticipated a need among other federal departments for an accessible tool that would raise awareness about data quality concepts. The Data Quality Toolkit is that tool. The toolkit offers two checklists, and although far from being a perfect quality management tool, is a starting point for engaging data producers outside of the NSO in the quest for good quality data. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marcia, for emphasizing this very important aspect for the statistical production and in official statistics. As you have mentioned, this is rather the exception that the National Statistical Office is producing the all official statistics for one country, and coordinating and ensuring high quality also in the national statistical system is crucial. And for example, in Europe, in the latest version of the European Statistics Code of Practice, we have included, as you know, for those of you who are coming from Europe, of course, we have included a new principle 1bis, which is related to coordination of national statistical system, and by the way, also European statistical system by Eurostat. So, and this is a decisive point, of course, in order to enhance the quality of official statistics. So thank you for that. Now I propose that we move to the last presentation of this speed talk session, and we welcome Raquel José Silva Correa from the Brazilian Statistical Institute and Institute of Statistics and Geography, IBGE. And Raquel is going to talk about improvement on the Brazilian Statistics Code of Practice. So Raquel, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon. I'm going to be showing you a little bit of our experience with our code. We're improving it. So our first code was published in 2013, and it was a milestone in quality management at our institute, because it established principles and guidelines with the aim of promoting quality in the statistics we produce. So our current code is divided in three sections: institutional environment and coordination, statistical processes, and statistical outputs. It has 17 principles and 80 good practices. So we went through external audit in 2016. And it evaluated our institute's adherence to its own code of practice. So it is a 5-point Likert type scale, ranging from fully adherent to non-adherent. And it evaluated only this section one, institutional environment and coordination. And in this audit, they recommended us to add explanatory tests to our code so that we could clarify each good practice, so it was more it's better to the lay person to understand what we meant with each one, and develop measurable criteria, or quantitative or qualitative, so that we could make self-evaluations of our own code. So to apply these recommendations, our first step was to study international reference documents so that we could better understand what we were proposing in each good practice. Then we moved to write the first draft of explanatory tests and indicators. At this point, we realized that we were going to have to improve the code itself, because certain points could lead to misinterpretation. So because of that, we had to postpone the release of the code to 2019, since the project became more time-consuming and more complex. The step three will be a complete review of the first draft that we already made, and then in this complete review, we are going to move the test for approval by the Institutional Quality Committee and Directing Council of our institute. With their approval, we are going to move forward and publish our code and then disseminate it in our house and in our country. So, in conclusion, this external audit was helpful for us because it showed our strengths, and it also showed necessary improvements that we have to make in our own code. These explanatory tests are going to be helpful too, because they are going to help the stakeholders and lay public to understand better our code and what we are proposing in it. And these indicators are going to help us make periodic self-evaluations of our own adherence to our code, and thus help us make a continuous improvement of the process of statistical production of our institute. So thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Raquel, for the presentation. I think you have highlighted, and it was on your last slide, important element. First of all, is that we as statistical community are committed to continuous improvement, and all this work is very much work in progress, and always we try to reach out to the best level of quality and enhance quality. The second one is something which was also highlighted by your keynote speaker this morning, is the importance to communicate to stakeholders and just to explain in plain language why they should trust our statistics. So, and I wish you, of course, the best for the next iteration of your code of practice and the next version. So thank you very much. I think now we are at the end of our speed talk session. It's 2 o'clock sharp, so I think we fulfill our mandate. Before we break out, I think I would like that we all of us give a big applause to our speakers, because it was a challenge to do this in 4 minutes. So thank you. And maybe before you leave, a last intervention from our steward. So.
Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much to our speakers and to our chair. And just two technicalities. Please check all your belongings are with you when you are leaving, yes? And the second, the lunch is still on, so you've got still 30 minutes to eat something on the first floor. Thank you very much.